that story from Luke that Phil read, the story of Mary and Joseph making their way to a crowded Bethlehem for a census, and then finding themselves caught short there when Mary went into labor and delivered their son. That's the story that we've all come here to remember together tonight. And in all honesty, sometimes we suspect that we could just tell that story, light the candles, sing Silent Night, and we'd probably all go home very satisfied. The bad news is you're not going to get off quite that easy tonight. St. Luke's story of Jesus' birth certainly is the centerpiece of this Christmas Eve service. But it is not the only scripture reading that we could have chosen. In fact, there's a schedule of prescribed readings for tonight, and in that schedule, there are more, 10 more, actually. Don't worry, we're not going to read them all. It's interesting because half of those readings actually come from sources that were written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. And yet they all proclaim the same thing, that one day God is going to come here to our earth in some tangible way. Now, one of those other readings is probably the second best known Christmas scripture passage we have. It's the one that I read from Isaiah 9. It starts with that familiar sentence, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." It goes on, and even though it's hard to interpret, it does foretell Jesus' birth. And it says, "For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests upon his shoulders." Well, that passage concludes by giving us this list of strange names for this child who is coming. It says that he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Well, that list of names from that Isaiah reading has me thinking about names tonight. And maybe in part it's because I don't think they actually really sound like names. They sound more like descriptions, phrases that describe how this child will be, or maybe what this child will grow up to be. A wonderful counselor, maybe even a prince. And yet we are told that those descriptive phrases are among a number of names given for this son who has been given to us. They are words that will identify him, words by which he will come to be known in some deeply profound way. Yes, he will be these things, but not just sometimes, but always. Somehow, he will always be all of those things. They will each be central to his character, so much so that they become his name. They will express who he is, always. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, there's another name that Isaiah chooses to use for this child God has told him is coming. He doesn't use it in this particular list. It comes just a little bit earlier in his writings from a couple chapters before. He prophesied that the Lord himself will give you a sign. "Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel." Emmanuel. From our first song we heard, this is a name that quite literally means God with us. And like those other names, Wonderful Counselor and the others, this word doesn't just describe something this child will do. It describes who this child will be. Always. He is God. Strange as it may seem, he is God here with us. And that, quite simply, is the incredible miracle that we have come together to celebrate tonight. It's the miracle of Christmas. That this tiny baby who was born in such humble, earthy circumstances on that night So long ago in that small town in the Middle East, that baby was also somehow God. God who had come. God who was making himself known in a whole new way here on earth with us. It was perhaps the biggest miracle that's ever happened. And interestingly, it was a miracle that was pretty much missed that night. God had always promised to be with his people, but no one ever expected it was going to happen this way. We've heard Isaiah and the other prophets foretold this event. And certainly the people of Israel had been waiting for a very long time for God to send someone to free them from the Roman occupiers. But almost no one figured out that that person was actually that tiny baby born in out-of-the-way Bethlehem. The political leaders didn't notice. The religious leaders, who had been waiting and watching, who knew the prophecies, they didn't notice. Even whatever the first century equivalent of the news media was didn't notice. The only ones who seemed to have noticed at the time were Mary and Joseph and those rough around the edges shepherds we heard about. But that's it. Jesus, who was God come in human flesh, arrived pretty much unnoticed, precisely because he didn't come in the way anyone ever expected. They were waiting for a king, a human king sent by God. They never expected a human king who was somehow also God himself. And when that king came, everyone expected that he was going to come with a great show of military force and power, driving the Romans out of Israel. They never expected this king was going to come with a force that would prove to be far more powerful and enduring than any military might. The power of love. The gospel writer John said it so clearly. God loves this world so much that he sent his son. This is the miracle of Christmas. That within that tiny, vulnerable human baby was somehow also the fullness of God, loving us so much that he came here to earth to be with us. Well, you know, that would be enough. The miracle of Christmas, that God came in human flesh on the night Jesus was born. But God's generous. And so typically of God, that's not all we get. In addition to the miracle, we also get a promise. If the miracle is that God came here to be with us, the promise of Christmas is that he is still here with us. Jesus came, and as Isaiah had prophesied, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. But that promise, it wasn't just for the duration of Jesus' life on earth. It was for always, forever. In his love, God came to be with humankind when Jesus Christ was born. And since then, in his love, God has remained with us in the Spirit of Christ, who continues to live within and around us, and often is making his presence known in the very same ways he did that first night. In simple, humble, vulnerable, powerful love. So as we go, my prayer for you all is that each of you may know God's gentle, loving presence with you this night and forever. Amen.